So good to be with you today and with the Lord in his presence, with his people singing. Hallelujah. There's an old chorus we used to do years ago called, I love to stand and rejoice, lift my hands and raise my voice. You set my feet to dancing. You fill my mouth with cheer. You give me reason to rejoice. Rejoice. Hallelujah. You know, rejoicing is a choice. Rejoicing is a choice. And God wants us to rejoice because when we do so, we are saying that we trust you, that we know that you've got it all in the palm of your hand, that we're not, you know, just out there floundering on our own, but God is with us and God is for us. Amen. And God is going to take care of us. We just keep calling on his name. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered. Amen. Aren't you glad we have a friend in Jesus? And we're not alone. We have an advocate with the Father. Praise the Lord. So I want to talk to you today about the true Jesus. The title of the message is The True Jesus. And that's the Jesus that I want to know. The true Jesus. There are a lot of Jesuses, you know, especially among the Hispanic population, right? Was it how they say it? How do you pronounce it? And Jesus? Jesus, yeah. But we're talking about the Son of God, the living God. Amen. Hallelujah, the I am. Hallelujah, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, right? Hallelujah. He was there in the beginning, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became what? Flesh. God became a man, dwelt among us. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you so much for everything. Thank you for your wonderful presence here today, Lord. God, we just want you to direct us today. Holy Spirit, have your way with each one of us here with me, Lord. God, we just pray that you bring everything into divine order in our lives, Father God, and in our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we will be, Lord, completely at one with you, Lord. And Lord, we want to be completely, totally filled with your holy presence, Lord. We don't want any part of us dark, Lord. We want to be completely filled with all of you, Lord. And so we ask you, Lord, we give you that permission, Lord, to have every part of us, Lord. Lord, you're welcome to come into every room, every void, every closet, the attic, the basement, Lord, wherever, Lord, there's darkness. God, I want you to come in and I want you to, Lord, just drive that darkness out of me, Lord, and fill me with your divine light. Holy Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Ooh, hallelujah. Wow. God allows us to be here today. Do you know the very breath that we take is a gift from God? He's the one that's given life and breath to everyone. And not everybody knows that or believes that, but someday they're going to see the Creator. Amen. Every knee will bow before Jesus Christ someday, the Lord. Hallelujah. And every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Hallelujah. So we confess him today as Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I believe that if he's Savior, then he must also be Lord. If he's Lord, he'll be Savior. Amen. Now, I was listening to something. Some of you might have remembered years ago, Oral Roberts put together this compilation of Jesus in the Old Testament, and actually through the Bible and every book of the Bible. And you can go on YouTube and it's still there. I think it's called Christ in Every Book of the Bible. So I encourage you to go and look at it. But he just, you know, really the Bible is all about Jesus. Amen. He's the main focus of everything. And I'm just wanted to share a few of the things that he started out with from Genesis into Ruth. But, you know, guys, if we miss Jesus in our study of him, then we miss the entire point of Scripture. If you miss Jesus in your study of him, then you miss the entire point of Scripture. In other words, you can learn about God yet not know God. You cannot learn God in a classroom. God must be revealed to us by his Holy Spirit. He is the teacher, amen, that will lead us into all truth. So we get the information, we get the written word, but it's the Holy Spirit, amen, the Spirit of truth, that reveals the living word to us, and that is Christ, that we might know him. That's what it's all about, amen, knowing him, having a relationship with him, not just practicing some religious ceremony that's void of substance or life, because Christ is our life. So if we miss Jesus in everything we do, we've missed the point of it all. How many believe that you can have a church service when the Lord's not really there? Yeah. I mean, there are some people that they're meeting every week, but you know God's not there, because wherever God is life. Amen. So if there's life in the house, amen, the Lord is in the house. All right. And in some cases, it may be just some folks that are like a smoldering flax, you know, just maybe a little spark is left. Amen. And what they need is the Holy Spirit to breathe upon them again. Amen. That they might be fanned back into flame and come back alive again. Hallelujah. You know, God wants to resurrect his church in America. God wants his church in America to be awake. Amen. Fully awake, fully in flame. Amen. And we can't do that. You can't manufacture that. You can't fake it. Amen. You can't hype it up. It's either God or it's not. Amen. What we need is him. Hallelujah. And if we miss Jesus, then we've missed the whole point of what this is about. Amen. Today. Well, Robert said this in Genesis. He is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is our high priest. In Numbers, he is the pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, the captain of our salvation. In Judges, our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, our kinsman redeemer. Isn't that amazing? And he goes on through every book of the Bible. And so the question today that we need to all ask ourselves is, how do I see Jesus? How do you see Jesus? Who is he really to you? There are people who have a picture of Jesus, a concept of Jesus. And then there are those who have truly met the Jesus of the Bible. And knowing about Jesus doesn't save you. Amen. There are people who have a concept of Jesus that is not based in truth. And if our Jesus is not based in reality or in truth, then it's not the true Jesus. Amen. And you can't separate Jesus from this word. Amen. If you don't love the word, you don't love Jesus. If you don't know the word, then you don't know Jesus. We come to know him. It's the written word that reveals the living word, that we may know him personally. And so there are people, again, that have a concept that's not based in reality or in truth. And then there are people who have come to know him as the truth, as the truth. And so it's very important that we get beyond just learning about God to actually knowing God personally. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." What do? They follow him, and he gives unto them eternal life. Who does he give eternal life to? Those who follow him. Hear, right, and follow. And eternal life, John 17:3, he said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So you see how he's saying Jesus Christ and God the Father together in the same sentence, as being equal, as being one. Eternal life means that we are alive and that we are active in God's presence. Outside of God is death. Outside of truth is death. Amen? In him is life. So you're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. Amen? But in Christ there is life. And so God wants to fully possess every part of our being so that we are fully possessed of his life and there's no part dark. You remember Jesus said, "The devil has no place in me." No place. He gave him no place, no room. And that's what the Lord expects from his children, amen, that we give no room to the devil. No compromising, no sympathy for the devil, amen. So if our lives are not dominated by God's presence, then we have the same life as the animals, basically. How many know that we are God's crowning creation? That we were made in the likeness of Him. Amen. So even though we may be animated in our soul life, we can be dead to God spiritually. And that's why Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. When Jesus spoke, He spoke to crowds of people. And many of them were very anxious to come and listen and sit at His feet and learn of Him. But He was speaking to people who were actually spiritually dead. They were souls that were animated, amen? So just like the animals, because of sin, we were been separated, amen? And we became spiritually isolated or dead to God. And so Jesus came to do what? To restore us back to life again, back into fellowship, so that we would be born of His Spirit, amen? We'll become spiritually alive, and then we could actually know God. Because God is revealed to us by the Spirit. Amen. And Jesus even said when He spoke to people, these words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. Hallelujah. So faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. When we hear the Word of God spoken by the Spirit of God, it can produce faith in the heart. Amen. It can produce life. So very important that we understand the true and know the true Jesus of the Bible and not some Jesus of our own fashioning. It's a very important question. Would you agree? Because it really is a matter of life and death, eternal life or eternal damnation. So do you see Jesus as you see yourself? Natural man will very quickly and easily form a Jesus of his own fashioning that will accommodate his lifestyle, who will approve of the things he approves of and disapprove of the things he disapproves of. Amen. You can talk to a lot. There's a lot of people that talk about Jesus, but we have to ask the question, what Jesus are you referring to here? Is this the true Jesus? How many know that the true Jesus is holy? He's without sin. Amen. And the true Jesus hates sin because the wages of sin is death. So if you say that you know Jesus and you live a sinful life, you're lying, because you cannot live a sinful life if you really know the Lord and the seed of God is in you. Are you hearing me? You'd be miserable trying to live that life. You're no longer comfortable living that life anymore because you're a child of God. And if you try to live that old life, you're living contrary to who you are in the new creation. You're living out of character, if you will, because we're new creations in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so Jesus came to bring people back to life again. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. You know this, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's not of human origin. Amen. You cannot patch up the old man. You cannot save yourself. It is a work that God does. Amen. In our hearts to bring transformation. And so the fact, again, that the Lord's name is mentioned together with God the Father's as being the joint source of eternal life means that they are equal. And so this verse proves that Jesus actually claimed to be the Messiah. So the true Jesus is the Son of God, and the true Jesus is equal to the Father. He didn't consider robbery to be what? Equal with God. But made himself of no reputation. When he came, he took upon himself the form of a servant. Amen. He came in the likeness of sinful Adam, natural man. Amen. Yet without sin. He had to become like us to be a faithful high priest and to be able to redeem us, because no one could save themselves. Jesus came and did that for us. Aren't you glad? So who do men say that I am? Matthew 16:13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Or I, the Son of Man, am? Well, some say, verse 14, John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others are one of the prophets. You know, if you ask a crowd of people today the same question, you're going to get a variety of responses. Who is Jesus? How many know it's very important that we know who Jesus is so we can know the true Jesus, that only the true Jesus can save you? Because there are a lot of people that are being seduced by false Christs, believing different Jesuses, receiving different spirits, amen, that do not agree with the truth. Amen. We know through the word of God who the true God is. Amen. And through Jesus, by the Spirit and the Word working together. So just think, you know, some think Jesus is just like them. You know, if when I was in the world, you know, I tried to justify myself in what I did. Maybe you did too. We're going to have an altar call right here and now. Somebody say amen. Amen. Everybody here has tried to justify themselves at times, right? But you and I are incapable of doing that. We can't justify ourselves before God. Only God can justify us. And he does that through his son, Jesus. The truth is, God is not like natural man. He's not like us because natural man is sinful. Truth is, God is both good and severe. You see, people are presenting all kinds of different Jesuses that they kind of like to receive and like to believe. And you know what? If you don't like the Jesus of the Bible, it means you need to change. Right. How many know that we are to conform into his image? And he's not going to conform to man. As hard as we may try, he's just not going to fit into our mold, right? God is perfect in all of his ways. In Romans 11:22, it says, therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. There's a balance here, isn't there, somewhere? John 18:37 says, Pilate therefore said to him, when Jesus was before Pontius Pilate, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should do what? Bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Oh, okay. Everyone who is of the truth does what? Here's Randy, right? Man, it's been a long time. Good to see you guys. Hallelujah. Just a little squirrel moment there, but it's good to see you. But everyone who is of the truth, what? They hear his voice. Hallelujah. This is how we know who the true people of God are. They listen to his voice. Hallelujah. They know his voice. My sheep hear my voice. And if you're hearing the true Jesus, your life will be conformed into his image. Are you hearing me, somebody? If you're worshiping the right Jesus, not a Jesus that you created in your own imagination, and if you come to God because you want to know the true Jesus, you said, ask and you shall, seek and you shall, and then what? Knock and the door shall be opened. Amen. So this is the true Jesus. He said, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So people who have met the true Jesus do what? They recognize his voice. In Matthew 10:34, he says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. Uh-oh. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now we're talking about the Jesus of the Bible, the true Jesus today. Amen? Everybody okay with that? Because I like the cute little Christmas stories too. You know what I'm saying? And we do believe that peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Amen. Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And wherever he is, there is peace. Amen. If he's in your heart, you have peace in your heart. Amen. So he is the Prince of Peace. But he said, I did not come to bring peace on the earth, but a sword. How many know before you can have peace with God, you have to first get rid of the problem that would separate between you and God, all right? And separate you from him. And so God has to do that. But we have to be a willing vessel to submit ourselves, acknowledge that we're sinful, realize that in ourselves we don't have any good thing. We're incapable of saving ourselves. We can only rely upon the grace, the mercy of God to be saved. Because God is merciful. And aren't you glad that he's not just, but he's also merciful. He's just, but he's merciful. And sometimes we can present a Jesus that is just a law giver, okay, and a judge. And that he is. And he's holy, and his word is holy, and every word that he speaks is right. It's always right. God is always right. Can you say amen? But he just doesn't leave us there in our human state and our natural condition, which is sinful and separated from God, before we come to Christ. Amen. So he knew we couldn't save ourselves. So God gave us the law so that we would become aware of our own sinfulness. And so we would realize that in myself, I don't have the capability of living up to God's perfect standard of righteousness. It's not of me. It's got to be of God or not at all. And don't confuse grace. Don't try to live under grace and under law at the same time, because you'll be double-minded. Because then you're only going to be doing as good as you feel that day. And you're only going to be doing as good as you're doing that day. And as soon as you do something wrong, well, now you're condemned again because you broke the law. Well, praise God that we have an advocate with the Father. If you mess up, go to Jesus. Amen? And leave it there. Leave it at the altar. Don't let the accuser come back and try to rub it in your face again and say, remember what you did 20 years ago? I may remember that, but I know God says, I'm not going to remember it against you. I'm not going to hold it against you anymore. Amen. Otherwise, you're going to live continually in this bondage of performance. And you're not going to enjoy the abundance of life that Jesus came to give us freely. God wants his people to relax, trust, and obey. Amen. Why do we obey him? Because we love him. Amen. You will serve people that you love. You will obey people that you trust. You don't want to grieve the heart of people that you love. You don't want to do things that grieve people's heart. Amen. If you love somebody, if you love your wife, you don't like to do things that grieve her, even though you do sometimes, guys, right? Amen. But it's not in our hearts to do that. We want to do what's right. Amen. We want to please our mate. Happy life. Moving right along. Yeah. And it works the other way around, ladies, doesn't it? Amen. Okay. We'll put a period in it right there. And Jesus knew that if he spoke the truth, it was going to cause some problems. It was going to cause division. Even within one's own household, there would be division because of the truth. But it's only the truth that will set a prisoner free. Amen. That will liberate us. We must be lovers of the truth. Because if you are a lover of the truth, it means you are a lover of Jesus. You cannot say you love Jesus and not love his word. Because he is the word. He is the word. Hallelujah. And every word that he spoke, he said, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. And sometimes the word is like that surgical instrument, amen, and it cuts. But how many know that sometimes you got to undergo an operation to get rid of something, amen, that could kill you? And even though an operation may have momentary pain, it's for long-term gain, amen. And God is trying to do some surgery on our hearts and in our lives, amen. But he needs us to be willing to say, Lord, do what you got to do. Do the operation, amen, because I don't want this tumor growing in me, amen. I don't want this ugly thing. I don't want this stronghold. I don't want that spirit there anymore. God, whatever you got to do, amen, I want to be pure. I want to be holy. I want to be like you. I don't want any part dark. I want to be completely filled with your life. Hallelujah. And then I can be a full expression of his goodness. Hallelujah. So Psalms 119 says, verse 130, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So when we receive the word of God that's spoken by the Spirit of God, it brings light. Amen. And sometimes if a person, well, if they're living in darkness and they like living in that darkness, they're not going to appreciate the light. But nonetheless, God has called us to speak the truth in love. If you love people, you tell them the truth. Amen. Even if they don't like you for it, you love them enough to tell them the truth because you know it's only the truth that's going to set them free. It's only the truth that's going to help folks. Amen. You can't sugarcoat this thing. You can't, you know, just gloss it over and make everybody feel good. Amen. If somebody's in a situation that is destructive, if you love that person, you're going to do what you can to get them out of it. And how many know that that's why the Lord spoke the truth? Because he had to make sure that everybody understood that they were lost. Even the people that thought they were righteous, Jesus went right through the facade, didn't he? Went right to the heart of the matter, and everybody was exposed before Jesus, amen. And that's why they hated him, amen. People loved him because they wanted to know him, and there's other people that hated him because they didn't want to hear the truth about the matter. Are you hearing me? Nothing new under the sun, the same problem we have today. You have those who do not want the truth and those who love the truth, amen. And God is separating between the sheep and the goats, amen. God is getting a church ready, a bride. He's going to have a holy people. And today is the day of salvation. Truth is, God is not like us. Amen? Light and darkness are not compatible. That's why the truth causes division. You cannot mix darkness and light. In John 8:32, Jesus says, you shall what? Know the truth, and the truth shall, right, or make you free. Now we know. Who is the true Jesus? Well, the true God is love. But God is holy. So Jesus spoke the truth in love. Because he's love, he spoke the truth. Amen. And the word of God is pure. Amen. Converting the soul. The entrance of the word brings light. Darkness cannot comprehend. Darkness cannot resist light. So if you speak the truth to someone, amen, that Adamic nature is going to rebel. How many know what I'm talking about? Been there, done that, right? There's still times, amen, when something will come to me that I'm not really wanting to hear. Even today. Don't look so sanctified out there. But we've got to be honest and be real about this because God's trying to love on us, amen, and show us something that will be good for us if we will be willing to listen to him and take his advice. Because again, we can always justify our lifestyle and what we're doing and God approves. Maybe your God approves of that, but the God of the Bible may not. My Jesus approves of this. Well, my Jesus would not because my Jesus is holy. And my Jesus doesn't want me cheating on him, having other gods before him. So some people, they have a Jesus who is tolerant of sin. And of course, this is a false Jesus, you know. And, you know, you see the picture of the peace-loving hippie Jesus, right? Whose only purpose was to spread love, joy, happiness, and self-indulgence. We may add that in there in somebody's idea. But everyone also is a child of God. You ever heard that one? Oh, Jesus loves everybody and everybody's a child of God. Actually, not everybody's a child of God. Jesus himself said that. Remember, he accused the Pharisees of being a child of who? Satan. And he says, you're going to do the works of your father. He was saying, basically, until you are born again, you're still a child of the devil. It doesn't matter whether it's a Pharisee or just a regular Joe on the street. Amen. We all came into this world corrupt through sin. Amen. And the only way out is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Through the new covenant. To be born of his spirit. To become a child of God. To be reinstated. Amen. Our name's written in heaven. Citizens of heaven now. Hallelujah. New creations. Not patch-ups, but new creations. Listen to what Jesus said here in Luke 13:1. There were present at that season some who told him, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things?" In other words, he says, you think that it's okay to compare these things, right? Is maybe they were a little bit a worse sinner than this guy over here, and therefore they suffered these things. And he said in verse 3, "I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And verse 4, "Are those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Now hear this. We have to guard against self-righteousness. We need to understand that all of us, apart from Christ, are lost sinners, amen, and condemned. It's only by the mercy of God that we are saved. And because we have been recipients of the mercy of God, amen, we should also show mercy to others. Because we have received the grace of God, we should also be gracious towards others, amen. How many know that God is long-suffering? He is patient with us, amen. And so God expects us to be long-suffering and patient with others as well. Because sometimes, you know, people can get under your skin. I think I get under my own skin at times. I don't always like me. But you know, God wants us to love. He didn't say, "Wait until you're loved." He said, "I want you to be love and express love to others." Amen. Be an expression of my heart. God is merciful. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that what anyone should perish. And you guys, I have to look at that. Sometimes I'm looking at some folks in high positions in this country. You know where I'm going with this. That can really get under my skin because I don't like the evil that's going on. And it's becoming more and more obvious, more and more blatant. But I have to remember Nebuchadnezzar was also, okay, a man that most people thought there's just no hope for this guy. He's such a narcissist that he even has a statue that looks like him. Sound like somebody else in North Korea, right? But God had a plan, and he was going to use Nebuchadnezzar for a season, amen, in Babylon. And how many know that the Jews are under that oppression for a reason? Because in the time when God was pleading with them to get it right, amen, they refused to listen. And so the Lord allowed them to go into captivity in Babylon, amen. And then this narcissist is in charge of everything going on. And he's trying to pressure everybody to bow down and worship the image that was set up. You know the story. But what happened? God says, "Okay, time is up for you, Nebuchadnezzar. You did what I wanted you to do up until this point. Now you're going to go eat grass like an ox. Now you're going to go out to pasture for a while. And I'm going to give you an attitude adjustment. And you're going to come to know that I am the true God. And I raise up kings and I bring kings down." Amen. Only God has the ability to do that. So no matter what you think about what's going on right now, our responsibility is to petition heaven, amen, to stand in the gap and plead that God will intervene, hallelujah, in the affairs of men, in the affairs of our government. And how many know God is sovereign? He is on the throne and he is in control, hallelujah, amen. But I believe he's waiting on his people. If my people, you know how it goes, called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. I ran into a guy the other day at Cabela's. I like Cabela's. I leave my wallet home when I go in there. But you know, we got to talking about, you know, the prices of things there and upset about the political situation right now. And I said, you know, God's got it. God's got it. We just need to trust him. We need to call on him. We need to lean on him, believe on him. Amen. And wait on his timing for everything. So, in so many words, he says, "Well, I wish you would hurry up." I know we've all said that, right? But I told him, I says, "You know what? I think God is waiting for us. He's waiting for us to get right with him." I told him, I think God is waiting for America to turn back to him. You want to see some changes? Turn back to Him.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's what people need to understand, is that otherwise we just compare ourselves. I'm a little bit more righteous than they are. And so we holler at, we scream at all the things that they're doing, the abortion and all this stuff. And yes, rightly so, we should speak up against it, amen. But we need to also understand that if we're going to do that, then we shouldn't go out and commit adultery. Go out and get drunk, or get out and, you know, and gamble, whatever the other stuff is that we may be doing, but it's not as bad as what they're doing, and therefore I'm justified to speak out against them. I'm just saying. Do you understand? All of us, God wants His people to be fully committed to Him who's fully committed to them. He wants a bride that is holy. He wants a bride that is really sold out. Amen. That has eyes for only Him. And so God has turned up the heat in America for a reason, and that is to purify His people. Come on. Anybody been in the fire lately? It's good for us. He's going to have His way. Because God will allow the enemy to have His way for a season. It's throughout history, amen, in the Word. But then, after He's through with them, then He judges Israel's enemies. And I believe that God wants to save America. I'm believing for a turnaround. I'm believing for an awakening. I'm believing for revival, amen, in the church. If my people. And so this massacre, there's two national calamities Jesus is talking about here. The massacre of some Galileans who had come to Jerusalem to worship, and Pilate, who was the governor of Judea, had ordered them to be slain while they were offering sacrifices. So the Jews in Jerusalem might have been under the delusion that these Galileans had committed terrible sins and that their death was an evidence of God's disfavor. You ever have the thought when somebody's really going through a hard time, or even if you're going through a hard time, it must be because of some gross sin? It can be. But how many know that the righteous endure many afflictions? Amen? So it's not always because, well, Joe's got having a lot of hard times in his life, so he must have some kind of hidden sin in his life. Right? I mean, how about just taking a look at yourself first? Say, Lord, is there a log in my eye that needs to come out? Sometimes we're so quick just to look around and sit in the place of self-righteousness and compare and compete. If you feel like they're getting a little bit more cake than you are. Maybe daddy likes you a little more than he likes me. And so I'm going to have to take a few jabs at you to cut you down to. Are you hearing me, somebody? That old nature wants to pipe in once in a while and take some shots at people, right? We have to take that thing by the neck, amen, and stomp it. And don't allow those thoughts, amen, to go anywhere. Take them captive to the obedience of Christ. What we need to do is love people. Amen. And if you want people to be restored, it's because you love that person. Well, you got what you deserved. Actually, none of us are getting what we deserve. Say amen, somebody. Amen. So if God saved me, that's good enough. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll live the rest of my life for your service out of gratitude for what you did. But he said, guys, unless you repent, you're going to perish. So the other tragedy was this collapse of a tower that was in Siloam, and it caused this death of 18 people. So the Lord pointed out to them that this catastrophe should be seen as a warning to the nation of Israel, that unless they repented, a similar doom would come upon them. And of course, that did happen in 70 AD, amen, when Titus came down and invaded Jerusalem. So we see that there are personal and national consequences for sin. So people say, well, what I do in my own life behind closed doors is my business. It's not going to affect anybody else. not so. There are personal consequences for sin, but you are part of a society and you are going to be an influencer. Everybody in this room is an influencer to somebody. So there are consequences for what I do personally, but my consequences can also translate into being, you know, a problem in society and creating problems for other people. My life, amen, can cause a brother or sister to stumble if I'm not careful about how I'm living my life. Amen. That I could actually cause another brother and sister to stumble because I'm not living the way I should. And the reason why I want to live right is because I love. Because I love the Lord and I don't want to grieve His Spirit. Amen. I want to live right because I want to honor His name. I want to live right because I want people to see Jesus. Amen. Who is the only hope for us. I want them to know my Jesus, and I want them to see the evidence that my Jesus is able to give me the grace, amen, for me to behave myself. My Jesus is able to give me the power to control this body, amen, that this body is now my servant, not my master. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And God gives me the ability to control what I allow in my eye gate, in my ear gate, and what comes out of this mouth, because we're representing Him. And we want to honor the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, some people think Jesus is a harsh taskmaster with little or no grace. Little or no grace. That's also a false Jesus. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Okay. So when I'm in the will of God, it's not burdensome. It's actually joyful. It's peaceful. It's a good place. So if our picture of Jesus is wrong, then we end up presenting a false Jesus. If we don't know the true Jesus of the Bible, then we will present a false Jesus to other people. And everyone here has, including myself, we all have opinions of what we think God might be like. I think it's a good idea that we come to know the real God, amen, the real Jesus, know Him personally, so that if a false Jesus is being presented, you'll be able to identify that. That's not my Jesus. Sorry. I remember being at a funeral one time. I'm getting a few more minutes. Being at a funeral one time and someone was talking about the deceased person and, you know, and the fun times they had. And they were talking about, yeah, I just used to love to sit down and smoke pot and open the Bible. And we would read the Bible together. And I'm just thinking, you know, and afterwards I said, "Do you think Jesus is okay with you smoking pot?" "Oh, for medicinal purposes." "No. Do you think Jesus is okay with you getting high? All right. And in opening His word, do you think that's what He approves of?" "Oh, I think so." That's what she said. "I think so." Do you understand what I'm trying to get at today? She needs to meet the real Jesus. And when you meet the real Jesus, you fall down on your face before Him. When you meet the real Jesus with a fire in His eyes, amen, you know, hallelujah, that you're in trouble. You know that you need to repent or you're going to burn forever. Hallelujah. And you know He's the only hope, the only answer, amen, for my depravity is that I would cast my soul down at His feet and say, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I cannot save myself. I cannot change myself. Only You can. But Lord, I'm giving my life over to You that You may do that work in me that only You can do. Lord, transform me. Do what You got to do. I don't want any darkness in me at all. I want to be completely filled with Your light." Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us. And when the picture of Jesus is wrong, again, we present a different Jesus. Again, Jesus asked this question, "Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am." And He said, "Some say what? John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." Again, people have all kinds of views of who Jesus is. But he asked Peter, well, Peter, who do you say that I am? Peter got the revelation, didn't he? Well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, right? Because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. He revealed himself to you as to who he is. It was by grace that you received that knowledge. You're blessed, brother, that you can know what you know. Don't be proud of your knowledge. Thank God, amen, that he allows you to know what you do know. Praise God that you're able to get out of bed this morning. Praise God that you can even read. Hallelujah. We don't have anything that God didn't give us. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. Amen. It's God who gives the grace and the ability to people to do what they do. So if we're going to do any boasting, boast in the Lord. Amen. Praise him. Give God praise for his goodness in your life. Hallelujah. And for what he's allowed you to do. Some people think Jesus was just a good man. Or maybe one of the prophets. You know. Some people believe that Jesus was a man who became God. That's what the Mormons teach. That's heresy. First Timothy 3:16 says this without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God, Theos, was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. This is the true Jesus. Who is he? Theos, deity. God became a man. The word that was with the Father in the beginning became flesh, dwelt among us. Amen. His name will be called Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. Theos. Amen. Jesus asked the question directly to his listeners in Matthew 16:15. He said, but who do you say that I am? Again, here it was Simon who answered the correct answer by revelation. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So you see here, guys, that you cannot know God. We cannot know God except that God be revealed to us by his Spirit. There's all kinds of theology, all kinds of people and teachers and preachers and basement preachers. And are you hearing me? Grandma's basement and whatever. And everybody's an expert on YouTube these days, you know. Well, there's only one expert. His name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There's only one superhero. His name is Jesus. We are his servants. And so we can impress people with what we know. But the real question is, do we care? Do we love people? We can use what God has entrusted to us to help people to get free, amen, and to come to salvation. But it's not because it's something we have done. It's because something God has done in us and something God has invested in us and that God has entrusted us with a stewardship over, amen, that gift, that ability to be used for the benefit of others, amen. And when we bless people who we see, we are blessing God who we don't see. In 1 Corinthians 2:11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. What does it say? No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we, the church, born-again believers, might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So when a person receives the real Jesus, because the true Jesus has been presented, they receive the Holy Spirit into their hearts. You receive the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. So when you preach the true Jesus by the Spirit of the Lord, amen, people receive the true Jesus. Amen? And their hearts are open. And then the seed of God is placed within them. They become spiritually alive. Amen. They become born of the Spirit of God. They come to new life. A brand new creation. Not just an improvement of the old thing, but a brand new creation. Hallelujah. With a new heart that has new desires. Amen. And hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. That he has done this for us and allowed us to be a partner with him now in his mission in the earth. And every one of us are called, amen, to join in the building up of the body of Christ. So how do we see Jesus? Do you see Jesus as meek and mild, as the lamb? Yes. But do you also know that Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah? Amen. He is a mighty warrior. That he is the El Elyon, the most high God. Hallelujah. He came the first time as a suffering servant to pay the price for sin and to redeem us. In Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected of men. Amen. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He came the first time as the Lamb of God. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. This same Jesus is going to return a second time without sin for salvation. This time, he's not coming to be spat upon. He's not coming to be beaten and rejected and despised. Amen. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming to reign. He's coming to rule. And he shall reign over all the earth. Hallelujah. From his throne in Jerusalem. Behold, Revelation 1:7, he is coming with clouds. And every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who was and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 19:11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. No matter how things appear right now, rest assured, Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's going to return. He's not going to be nailed on the cross. He's coming to rule. And verse 15, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, what? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. How do you see Jesus? Do you see him as Lord and Savior? Amen? Yes. Savior and Lord. God is a mighty warrior. Hallelujah. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of heaven's armies. Hallelujah. We need to understand that the lion of the tribe of Judah is going to roar from heaven. Hallelujah. And right now, I believe he's roaring in the earth through his people, through his prophets. Amen. God is removing the veil of deception, of lies, exposing it all. Hallelujah. Amen. And God is raising up warriors that are partnering with him. Hallelujah. Because the Lord chooses people. Amen. To accomplish his mission on the earth. That means you and I have been recruited. Sign up. Amen. Today and say, Lord, I'll go. I'll go for you. Show me what to do, where I can serve, where I can make a difference, where I can be salt and where I can be light in this world. How many know that God called you to be a world changer? You are to change your environment, your world, your family. Amen. Your children are your responsibility. Amen. That's your first ministry, right? Yes. Pour into your children. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, you all know this, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What is happening right now? God is being patient. God is giving mankind an opportunity to repent and be saved. This is the day of salvation. Amen. You must receive the true Jesus. You must bow your knee before the true Jesus. Amen. The word, hallelujah, reveals to us, amen, the living word. Hallelujah, that we may know the true Jesus. And we bow our knee to him. We bow our knee to his word. Amen. Because he is the word. Hallelujah. You cannot separate him from the word. Amen. And so we bow our knee to the real Jesus today. And that means if I have a problem with the real Jesus, it means I need to be changed. Amen. And only God can do that. But if you're willing to repent today and, amen, get rid of your idols and your false Jesus and your idea of Jesus is somehow like you and he does the things that you approve of and disapprove of. No, he is not like a man. Amen. He will never lie. He is the truth. Hallelujah. He is not like us. In fact, the Lord's ways are higher than our ways and our thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen. We need to conform into his image. He's not going to fit in our box. Lord, we thank you today for the word. We thank you that you have been speaking to all of us here. God, I ask that we will be changed. I ask that you would, Lord, bring our hearts to a place, Lord, where we are willing, truly willing, to surrender everything, Lord, to fully give ourselves over to you, Lord. I know that's the only place where we find our freedom is when we surrender it all. Lord, you decide now. Lord, I want you, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to lead my way. Guide my steps every day, Lord. Lead me in the way I should go. Lead me in the way everlasting. Father, we pray your kingdom to come and your will to be done on the earth as in heaven. So let it be on the earth. Father, as in heaven, so let it be in every heart today. Father, I ask you to bring healing, bring deliverance, set every captive free. So I take authority over all the works of darkness in Jesus' name. I take authority over the enemy in this house today. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to get out right now. To loose them right now in Jesus' name. Take your hands off God's people right now in Jesus' name. Take your hands off their minds right now in Jesus' name. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over your saints, over your people right now. God, we ask you to cleanse us. You said, Lord, if we walk in the light as you are in the light, we will be together. We will have fellowship. One with another, and the blood of Jesus, your Son, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Would you just take a moment right now and say, Lord, I want you to cleanse me. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord, forgive me for all my sins. Purify my heart and fill me with your Holy Spirit and raise me up to be a vessel for you. Lord, I want to be enlisted in your army. Lord, armor me up and strengthen me with might by your spirit in the inner man. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. This is a good day because this is the day that you made. Thank you for bringing us together today. Thank you for speaking to us. Father, I pray that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish what you've set it forth to do today. And Lord, thank you. Be with each one of us, Lord. Watch over us. Protect us from harm. Deliver us from the evil one. And lead us in the truth, Lord, that we'll be completely free indeed. In Jesus' name. Amen.